Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 13, verses 48 and 49. Acts chapter 13, verses 48 and 49. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. The word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Our subject this morning is infected with the gospel. Infected with the gospel. Well, now we are living at a time when our minds are very much focused on the coronavirus. Well, ever since March, particularly of this year, there has not been a great deal in the news, or there has not been much spoken about other than the coronavirus and the spread of the coronavirus. And we know that it has spread to many countries. The whole world has been touched by it. The number of cases of coronavirus has reached 30 million worldwide, and the number who have died of COVID-19 fast approaching a million people. 213 countries have been affected by the coronavirus. And of course, in this country, at the present time, we are being told that a second wave is inevitable. The number of cases is rising. And, well, all sorts of measures are being discussed to reduce the rate of infection. That's what we're being told to do. That's the key. We have to bring the R number down and so on. And, well, some of us, we are tempted to despair. This is what we've been trying to do for the best part of a year. We've been trying to reduce the spread of the virus. We've been wearing our masks. We've been doing all sorts of things. And yet it seems despite our best efforts, the spread of this virus does not seem to be slowing down. Even despite all that we do, we cannot seem to stop the rate of infection. A second wave is inevitable, we are told. And well, why am I beginning with summary of the coronavirus? Well, because this morning I'm going to use this coronavirus and the spread of it in a different way. I'm going to point out to you that the coronavirus, or rather the gospel is like the coronavirus. The gospel message over the last 2,000 years has spread, just as we see this virus spreading across the world and nobody has been able to stop it. Do we realize that this message over 2,000 years has spread across the world? The Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth. We know this. He was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, preached in Galilee, died in Jerusalem, rose again on the third day, of course. And ever since his resurrection, well, the disciples, the apostles have not ceased. Well, his people have not ceased to tell everybody about this message, about the glorious gospel of grace. And it has spread. It has spread from place to place. And this is what we read in the book of Acts, the apostles going from place to place, spreading the gospel. The rate of infection, as it were, the rate of converts is growing so rapidly. At the beginning of this chapter, well, we read of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas going to Cyprus and sharing the gospel with so many people. And, well, a very prominent man by the name of Sergius Paulus, a deputy in that country, hears the gospel and he is saved. And then they come to a place called Antioch. And many Jews believe, and many Gentiles believe. We read at one point that the whole city of Antioch comes to hear the word of God. Verse 44, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And so many people believed, even despite persecution. In verse 45, when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. They were trying to stop the spread of the gospel. Let us contradict these people. Let us blaspheme these people. And then in verse 50, the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. They're trying to stop the spread desperately of the gospel. But look at verse 51, what the disciples do. They simply shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And just look at chapter 14, the first verse. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. So it continues to spread. The gospel message, even despite the persecution, even despite the best efforts to stop the spread of the gospel, it spreads. It's like the coronavirus. This is what I'm presenting to you this morning. But of course, unlike the coronavirus, there is nothing bad about the gospel. If you are infected with the gospel, it is a good thing to happen to you. It is indeed the greatest thing that can ever happen to you. And so I want to speak to you this morning about the glorious infection of the gospel. And I want to do so by giving you three headings. First of all, we're going to look at what the symptoms are. When you are infected by the gospel, what are the symptoms? Secondly, we're going to look at, we're going to look at how the gospel is spread, how it is transmitted. Secondly, we're going to look at the symptoms. And then thirdly, we're going to look at the prognosis, or how it all turns out. Well, first of all, how is the gospel transmitted? How do you get it? We know how this COVID-19 is transmitted. If you stand too close to one another, you might get it. If you shake hands with one another, you might get it. If you don't wear your mask, you might get it. Yes, we're very well aware of how the COVID-19 is transmitted, how you get it. How do you get the gospel? How do you get infected with the gospel? How is it transmitted? Well, it's through the preaching of the word of God. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but this is what the apostle Paul did. All the apostles did this. They preached the word of God throughout all the regions, and they taught others to do so. The apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, he exhorted Timothy. He said, preach the word, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Because this is the way that we are taught in the scriptures. This is how people are infected with the gospel. And even in verse 38 of this chapter, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. This is how it is transmitted. And this is why we preach the gospel. In this church, we preach because it is the pattern given to us in the New Testament. We don't show films. We don't act out in any way. We don't have plays or anything. We don't even have statues around the building. We don't have religious pictures. That's not how the gospel is transmitted. It's the preaching of the word of God. We don't have debates or discussions or divide ourselves into small little groups and talk about the Bible. No, it's the preaching of the word of God. This is the way that God has presented to us whereby we ought to transmit the gospel. This is the way that God loves to bless. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is how the gospel is transmitted. But you know, having said that, you know, there are some people who sit under the sound of the gospel, sound gospel preaching for many years, and they never get it. They never get infected by the gospel. And in fact, the Bible teaches us that by nature, we are not susceptible to the gospel. You know, with the coronavirus, we know some people are more susceptible to get it than other people. Some people are more vulnerable. Some people have to shield because they have pre-existing conditions. So they are more vulnerable to coronavirus. But is that the case with the gospel? Are there people who are more predisposed to be infected by the gospel? No. No, we are not. We are not susceptible to the gospel by nature. The Bible tells us that by nature we are hardened against the gospel. We are rebels against the gospel message, rebels against God. When we hear this message, when we hear about how God is holy and how we are sinners in his sight and therefore we need to repent and we need to turn away from our sin, when we hear all of these things, we reject it. We don't want it. We don't want this gospel message. We are not susceptible. We are not predisposed to being infected by the gospel. We don't want it. We are hardened by nature. We are immune by nature. That's what the Bible teaches us. Well, how is anyone saved, therefore? How does anybody actually become a Christian if we are all hardened to it by nature? Well, this is the way it works. God has to work in us first. Whenever anybody comes to faith, it is because God has worked in us first. It's like, for example, a surgeon. If you are going for surgery, well, a surgeon has to open you up and he has to remove whatever is causing an obstruction, whatever the cancer is. Whatever the tumor is, you have to be worked on. A surgeon has to take that out for you to be better again. Well, it's the same way with the gospel. God has to work in you to take away your hostility, to take away your unbelief. God has to work first in you, and then you will hear the gospel. Then you will begin to understand. Then you will begin to respond. But by nature, we are hardened against the gospel. God has to work in us first, and then we will see those symptoms of being infected with the gospel. Well, what are the symptoms that you are being infected with the gospel? What are the symptoms of salvation, those signs that tell us that you are being saved? We all know what the symptoms are to look out for in COVID-19, flu-like symptoms, a new cough, not an old cough, a new cough, loss of taste. That's one of the symptoms of coronavirus. If you lose your sense of taste, you might have the coronavirus. Well, you know, in the same way, when you are infected with the gospel, your taste actually starts to change. Do you know that? When you're infected with the gospel, your taste starts to change. Before you were saved, well, you used to love the things of the world. You loved the entertainments of the world, the music of the world, the comedy of the world. You loved to go out and have parties. Perhaps you liked to go out and drink. That's what you enjoy. But when you're being infected by the gospel, when God starts working in you, you lose your taste of all those things. You can't taste the pleasure of those things anymore. The things you used to do, going to parties and so on, you don't enjoy them so much. You don't have an appetite for them. You see them as shallow, they're empty. Your tastes start to change. That's how you know that you're being infected by the gospel. The things that you used to love, you don't love them anymore. Your taste is starting to change. Not only is your taste affected, but your eyesight becomes affected. Some illnesses, well, it can affect your eyesight. But you know, when you're being infected by the gospel, your sight starts to change. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean is that you start to see the Word of God clearly. Before, you never understood the word of God, and you didn't want to understand it, but now you begin to see. Oh, I see, I understand what the gospel is all about. Now I can see it. Before, I didn't. Before, I used to think the gospel was just some oppressive message. It was just going to make my life a complete misery. But now I can see the beauty of the gospel message. Now I can see that it talks about God's love and how I can know God's love and his mercy and his forgiveness. I can see that the gospel, rather than oppressing me, it sets me free. Free from sorrow, free from sin. I never saw this before. Now I can see it. You see, your eyesight is being affected, but you can see clearly. These are just some of the symptoms of being infected by the gospel. The Apostle Paul himself says words to this effect, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's how you know you're being infected. The eyes of your understanding are being enlightened. You can see the beauty of the gospel. You can see the truth of the word of God. And it's a glorious thing to behold. Also, you start acting differently. You start acting differently. You know, sometimes when you're ill, people can tell just by looking at you. That person doesn't look right. He looks a bit peaky. But when you're infected by the gospel, you know, you can tell just by looking at that person. Something has happened to them. They start acting differently. They stop doing the things they used to do, of course. They've repented. They don't go to the pub anymore. They start going to the church. They start having fellowship with Christian people. They're acting very strangely all of a sudden. They start speaking differently. Your speech is affected. You start talking about Christ and about the gospel. You start telling your friends. You never would have done that before, but now you're infected by the gospel. And your speech has been affected and changed. You're talking about the Lord to everyone about you. Your tongue has been loosened. You even start to speak to God. You start praying. You never did that before, but now God has begun that work in you. The spread of the gospel has affected you, and you are praying to God and speaking to him. These are the symptoms, dear friends, these glorious symptoms of salvation. Well, maybe that's happening to you. Am I speaking to anybody here? You are seeing these symptoms in your life. Sometimes we don't even know. Just like in some circumstances, you can be sick. You don't know you are sick. That's what we've been told with the COVID. You can have it without even knowing it. Well, perhaps God is working in you. You don't even realize. These are the symptoms of salvation. But thirdly, what is the prognosis? What is the prognosis? Well, don't be afraid of that word. I know not many people use it nowadays, but the prognosis simply means, what does it lead to? If you are infected with the gospel, if you are saved, what does it actually lead to? Well, now, the reason we're all so scared of the coronavirus is because we know it can lead to death. It's not very likely, I have to add, but we know that it can lead to death. But of course, we have to remember that even if you don't get the coronavirus, you cannot avoid death. Even if you don't get the coronavirus, there is no getting around death. We can social distance all our lives. You can wear a mask all your life. We can be in lockdown to the end of our days. But you know, one thing is certain, we will still all die. You cannot escape death. That is the prognosis for all of us in our life. The prognosis for every single person, what it leads to, is that we will die. Anyone who has a birth certificate will one day have a death certificate. This is the prognosis for every single one of us. This is what our life leads to. It leads to death. And why is that? Well, we mentioned this last week. Why do we die? It's because of sin. Death is in the world because of sin. Adam, the first man, sinned against God, and death entered into the world. Not just for Adam, not just for Eve, but for all his descendants, every single one of us. We are all born sinners, and therefore we will all die. Now, I don't know the exact percentage of death for those who die with COVID-19, but I do know that 100% of deaths are caused by sin. 100% of deaths are caused by our sinful state, because we are sinners. And so this is what we need to understand. This is what we need to be cured of. If you really want to live, we must come to Christ. We need to have our sin problem dealt with, not simply avoid the coronavirus. If we want to truly live, we must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only He who can help us know what it is to truly overcome death. The only begotten of the Father, the second person of the triune Godhead, He came down from heaven to earth to dwell in our midst, to be our Savior. Remember how He is prophesied, God with us. He came down from heaven to be with us. You see, there's no distancing with God. There's no distancing with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God with us. We have been taught in the last 6 months to distance ourselves from one another. Social distancing. Keep your distance, however long it is, 2 meters, 1 meter plus. This is the attitude we've all been taught. If you've got something, I don't want it. I'm going to keep my distance. Don't come too close to me. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not like that. There's no distancing with Him. He comes very near to us. He comes close to every single one of us. And He says to us, come and place your sins upon me. Come and place your sins, that which leads to death, I will take it upon myself, and I will die in your place. There's no distancing. There's no keep your distance. Come, place your sins upon me, all that you have ever done in your life. I will take it, and I will die in your place. That's the exact opposite of the world's attitude. The world's attitude is keep your distance. You don't want this. Don't get the lurgy. But Christ comes with everlasting love for each and every one of us. I will take that which really leads to death, your sinful state, and I will die for you, your substitute. I will take your place on the cross. God will punish me instead of you. This is what God has done for us. And this is what we preach in the gospel. This is what the apostles preached. This is what we preach to this very day. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for your sin. And well, if you do that, what is the great prognosis? What does it lead to? It leads to life, everlasting life. Look at verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, the non-Jews, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. They were ordained to eternal life. That's what they received when they believed the gospel. Eternal life. You know, it's been a sad thing to behold in this year so far, the last 6 or 7 months. We know that everybody who dies of COVID-19, well, it is recorded. It's registered in a book somewhere. Their name is written down. And the cause of death alongside it, coronavirus, COVID-19. A great book, a great record of those who have died. But you know, it's so different for a Christian. If you seek the Lord, if you seek to be saved, if you repent and you have faith, your name will be recorded, but not in a book of death. Your name is written in a book of life. That's what we read at the very end of the Bible. There is a book that is opened up a book of life, and there are names written on this book. And those names are ordained to eternal life. Those names will go to be with God forever. Death is not the beginning, is not the ending for them. It is the beginning of eternity. It is forever with the Lord, because their names are registered in that tremendous book of life, because they have faith in Christ, because they have believed the gospel, the same gospel that these disciples preached, the same gospel that has spread around the world and is still spreading around the world. Nothing is going to stop the spread of this gospel, by the way. The coronavirus isn't going to stop it. No lockdown is going to stop it. No atheism or persecution is going to stop the gospel. This gospel is going to spread until all of God's elect are gathered in. And so the question is, are you numbered amongst those elect? Is your name going to be written in the book of life? The name that will receive eternal life and will dwell with God forever. Dear friends, it can be written if you come to Christ, if you seek Him, if you desire to be infected with the gospel. Don't resist it. Don't keep your distance from God. Come to Him. He will take your sins upon Himself so that you may be forgiven and washed and cleansed of every guilty stain and know glorious eternal life. Dear friends, I say this every week. Why remain in a world that is full of death? Look at the world now. This world that boasted that you can do everything in this world. You don't have to worry about anything. There is no God. There is nothing like that at all. We can do everything we want. Well, now look at the world. How it's all crumbled around us, but it won't crumble if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our security. This is our surety. This is the truth that we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we are saved to the uttermost. Dear friends, this is the way to live. This is the way to everlasting life, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read those words, verses 48 and 49 once more. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Well, please turn with me in your hymn books to our second hymn. Hymn number 403, and let us consider these things as we conclude this morning. Hymn number 403. O Jesus, full of truth and grace, more full of grace than I of sin. Yet once again I seek thy face, open thine arms and take me in, and freely my backslidings heal, and love the faithless sinner still. Thou knowest the way to bring me back, my fallen spirit to restore. O, for thy truth and mercy's sake, forgive and bid me sin no more. The ruins of my soul repair, and make my heart a house of prayer. The stone to flesh do thou convert, the trait of sinfulness remove. O, speak into my wayward heart, and melt it down by dying love. This rebel heart, O, now subdue, and make it tender, form it new. O, give me, Lord, the tender heart that trembles at the approach of sin, a godly fear of sin implant and root it deep within, that I may dread thy gracious power and never dare offend thee more. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God, O Lord, how we thank thee for the gospel. How we thank thee that this glorious message, this good news, this way out of death into everlasting life has spread across the world, far greater than any virus. O dear Lord God, how we pray that we will not resist this message, that we will run to Christ our Savior, who longs to be our substitute, who longs to be the one who suffers and dies for the sins of each and every one of us. O Lord, indeed he has done this for all those who believe. Lord, forgive us afresh all our sins. Help us to trust in Christ that we may depart from this world of death and know life forevermore. We ask all these things in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen.